What is happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Grab Life by the Controller podcast. We are a podcast about gaming memories. All things gaming, really. It's been forever. It's been almost a year. Can you believe that? I can't believe that. Things have been crazy in life. I'm pretty certain y'all have had the same experience with the pandemic and everything that I have and that my guest has had. We like to stay relatable here. We like to be involved. So why don't we just get into it? Why don't we grab life by the controller? All right. So let's hop in the DeLorean real fast. Let's go back to June 6th, 2020. That is how long it has been since I have recorded an episode with my guest. Does he need an introduction? No, he doesn't. But is he going to get one? Anyways, yes, he is the beautiful, the bald and bearded Ultra Gold Man. What is going on, my brother?
Oh, man, it's been way too long. You know, it's 2.5 years since we've done this. It feels like, I didn't realize it was that long. But yeah, it does feel like it's been forever. But, you know, it ends up, it hasn't been forever. It's been forever in a day.
It has been forever in a day. And it's seriously, like, where does the time go?
I know. The 2020s has been a pretty rough decade. I mean, the last time we did this, it was at the height of the pandemic.
Yeah, do you remember what we were talking about?
I don't even remember. Like, I don't know. I can barely remember 10 minutes ago, let alone what we talked about on a podcast 2.5 years ago.
Dude, we were talking about multi-carts and emulation and just great ways to play games.
We were talking about some alternate ways if a person doesn't have the opportunity to get maybe an NES Classic Mini or a Sega Genesis Mini. Hey, here's some other options.
How many options do you have to play nowadays?
Oh, man. Where do I start? More than I can handle. I have it all, you know, I have emulation. I have emulation with my retro engine. I have, you know, the clone system. I have, what is it, Retron 3 to play Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Genesis games. And I have multi-carts for each and every one of those systems. It's amazing. There are some games that I have, you know, because of emulation. Maybe because I have the Sega Genesis collection on my PlayStation 4, because I have the NES and Super NES collection on my Switch, where there are some games that I have like maybe 6 or 7 different ways to play them. Because I may have the physical copy too, or it's on a multi-card.
Well, and honestly, variety is the spice of life. I know that with me a lot lately, I have been playing on my Switch, and I am not a Switch person. I'm not a Switch person at all. But over the summer, my family was doing a lot of camping, and we would take the Switches with us. We've got a little TV in our trailer. We've got a generator that powers everything safely. And I couldn't play all the games that I wanted to because, you know, no online capabilities in the middle of nowhere. But we would do things like Family Feud, and then we would swap it over and play Mega Man 2, Punch-Out on my minis that I have. And so the collection that Nintendo puts out, I really, really think that PlayStation, Xbox, I mean, they do a little bit with their Game Passes, but they really need like specific libraries that you can sign up for in case you're interested in that kind of stuff, because that stuff's huge. I don't see the PS2 mini coming since the PS, you know, Classic was kind of a bust. I don't see a sequel to that coming out.
I only bought it because it was cheap.
And it's easy to mod.
It is. It absolutely is. I haven't really tried much modding on it. I think after I bought it, I just said, You'll go on the shelf for collector's purposes.
Yeah, I've got mine right next to my PS1.
Yeah, and so. I don't know why PlayStation doesn't have it where, hey, here's a collection of PS1 games. Why they don't have like a PS1 library with like Battle Arena Toshinden and Twisted Metal and Ridge Racer, even ESPN Extreme Games.
Well, and the thing about it is they have a decent selection on the online store, on their storefront for cheap, but the thing is, ain't nobody going back and looking at that stuff. If you had like a service that you could buy in, kind of like, you know, NES Online through the Switch, the SNES Online, the N64, it might give people more of an opportunity to go through.
Definitely.
And relive games from their childhood instead of having to pay like $2.99 for a game that they can't remember that well. And then they're like, ah, well, that sucks. Those sexy polygons aren't as sexy as I remember.
Oh, and the truth is that they aren't. Because I've been monkeying around a bit on my 32-bit gaming, because I also have a Polymega. Have you heard about the Poly? I know you've heard me talk about it in some of our conversations. I even did a video. The Polymega is awesome. I use it to, it plays all the CD-based games from PlayStation 1, Sega Saturn, TurboGrafx CD, Sega CD, are there any that I'm missing? Oh, Neo Geo CD. It's been great, and the cool thing about the Polymega, I had to get a new SD card because I need to put more space on there. I can actually download the CD-based games, and you can create your own library on there of all your games. It's another way to... I wanted to do that because, while I love having physical copies and I love the physical media, when it comes time to actually game, there's more of a chance that I'm going to go towards either the emulation or a digital way to play the game, because I want to keep the physical copies fresh and I want to keep the physical copies from being damaged, things like that.
Well, and here's one thing that came to mind when you said that, because I didn't know I had that capability. I've heard you talk about this a lot. I've looked into it myself, but where it's out of my price range, I haven't looked into it enough to know that it did that. One of the things that I think is beautiful about that, disc-based games break down. They become unreadable. And it's not a matter of when. Well, it's just a matter of when.
When,
and
exactly.
So to be able to save your own games and have them in a digital library, you're not having to look through some site to go grab files. You're saving your physical copy digitally. That's fantastic.
Oh, and it's an interface. I'm not sure, when I first got my Polymega, I was, you know, testing out some of the games in my collection, from my PlayStation 1 games, some of my Sega Saturn games, some of my TurboGrafx 16 CD games. It's beautiful. The interface on it is beautiful, the way everything's set up, and it also had some games preloaded on there from multiple consoles, because you can actually get additional mods where it'll play Sega Genesis titles, it'll play NES titles. And I'm like, I don't need those mods because I have other ways to play those games anyway.
Yeah, but that's a great option for somebody who's starting out now, because we all know how reliable the old NES is. The system itself was great, but that 72-pin connector, like, when they go out, unless you know what you're doing or have a hookup to get it done for you, you're in the dark.
You're in the dark.
And you've got that flashing screen bugging the hell out of you.
Right. I've seen videos where people replace the pin connectors, and there's also a lot of those retro game shops that if you go in there and you tell them that you have one, where, you know, you pay X amount of dollars and they'll do the pin replacement for you. But yeah, because it can be rough. I remember when I bought the NES that I currently own, I got it for $15 at a flea market. Luckily, it wasn't working. Luckily, I just had to open it up and clean it. There were cobwebs in it.
Oh, snap. I couldn't imagine letting any of my stuff getting that dirty. And when I say anything, I mean the back of my guitar amps, any of my consoles. I don't go through them as much as I used to. I mean, pre-pandemic, I was hitting this pretty hard. I was gaming. I was out on the hunt. I was looking for games. The pandemic kind of changed everything for me. I know it did for a lot of people, but for me, I slowed way down. I found less joy in the hunt because my favorite game store of all time closed its doors.
So did mine. I think we've talked about our areas. Yeah. What was your no.
What was that?
What was the one? I remember we used to talk about the store. You know, we each had our main stores in our areas that we went to because mine shut down too. What was yours called?
Mine was called Game Changers, and it had a Z at the end of it. And they were located in Orem, Utah. They had the best staff. Like, I would go in. Whoever was working there knew my name. They would specifically look for games for me. If something came in that they know I'd spent a lot of time searching for, they'd give me a call. I'll say, hey, I just got this in on consignment. I got it on trade. We just bought this flat out. Or, hey, we're going to Japan to pick up some imports. Anything you want us to look for? And I'd get the hookup. Like, genuine people, they love talking games. They weren't gatekeepers at all. If anyone would come in, they're like, well, I can't afford a Nintendo. I got a Retron 2 from Amazon. They'd be like, hey, you know, here's a couple of inexpensive games that you should get for it and play. And, you know, first time buyer, we'll give you 10% off your purchase. Like, they inspired people to want to play different stuff.
Even in here, my spot was in White Oak, Pennsylvania, next town over for me here in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And when I say next town over, it's all actually the same McKeesport area school district for all those who are from the McKeesport area. So, you know, our White Oak peeps, we kind of consider them McKeesport peeps too. We had Game Again. That was where I went to pick up all my old video games. And it was such a great spot. And they didn't just do video games. They had DVDs and old video game magazines and things like that. But yeah, but primarily, that's where I'd go and do my retro game pickups. They had a pretty nice library. Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. They even had some Sega Master System titles that were there. And that's where I was able to get a copy of my favorite Master System game, Rasted, from there. Because me and the guy were talking about the Sega Master. We were talking about that particular game. And I'm like, oh, that was my favorite game. He's like, well, if whatever comes in, you know, next time you're here, I'll let you know if we ever have it coming. Next time I come in there, there it was, and I bought it right away. Had to have it.
Dude, that's dope. I have one game store that is in my county that the prices, the markup is even higher than price charting. And so I don't get inspired to go visit. The thrift stores that I go to, I got Super Castlevania 4 for the Super Nintendo for $5 from my thrift store. I got a huge lot of games. I spent like $30. I got 8 games, and they were all great games, good titles. Now, if I were to find something similar to that, they would be minimum of $30 to $40. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, they've got huge price tags on it. that is one of the things that I hate the most about the pandemic is everybody went indoors. Everybody needed a way to occupy their mind in their time. Mm-hmm. And, then not only were they snagging up the games, they noticed everybody else is looking for this stuff. I can turn around and resell it and make a huge profit. I can go through, find my stuff at my parents' house that they've been holding on to me in the attic and sell it for a ridiculous amount of money because people are willing to pay to be entertained.
Exactly. And we watched it happen. I remember I got my copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, The Manhattan Project. I paid $25 for it. Now, if I go on eBay to look for that same game, it's almost $40-$50, sometimes even more.
I have come across that title a couple of times at pawn shops. The lowest that I have seen it for is $58. I have seen it in one shop for $120.
It's like, why? I got it for $25, which was, you know, the standard at the time. That was the standard price for it. It cost more than the first one, and it cost more than the second one because those were a bit more widespread, which makes sense. You know, they would be cheaper. And that one was $25. Yeah, I've seen how prices are starting. Prices have gone up. People really took advantage of us. Now, there is one place that I have to go to. I got to drive 30 minutes. There's a spot in Greensburg, Pennsylvania that I love going to called Warp Zone. Warp Zone, they have very nice collection. They're Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Master System, Genesis, Atari 2600, Atari 7800. They even had Atari Jaguar in there. And I like them because at least they're reasonably priced. That's where I got you that copy of E.T. for the Atari 2600 because it was only $5. That's how much it should be, no matter what. When you told me that some store out your way was trying to charge you $25 for it?
Yeah, and so I live in the heart of Mormon country. I live in Utah, and we have a set of thrift stores around here called Deseret Industries, also known to the locals here as the DI. They had single Atari games, common as heck games, Asteroid, E.T. They wanted $25 a pop. They had an old Atari that you couldn't test to see if it actually worked that they wanted $250 for. For the console, for the joysticks, and I think it had the old, what was it, the RCA connector?
Wow. Like, I went to, I didn't pay that much for my Atari 7. I got an Atari 7800 last year. And with a bunch of games, like 20-something games. And I paid $150.
You want to know the worst part about it? Everything that place has on its shelves is given to them. And for them to mark it up that much and try to sell it like it was brand new, just because it's retro doesn't mean it's worth a retro price. If you look at the saturation that Atari did, that they flooded the market with, like, yes, okay, they are worth something because they are a piece of gaming history, but they are not worth half of a PS5 just to own.
Oh, no, not at all. I got my Atari 2600 at Pittsburgh Retro Gaming Convention back in 2018. I paid $26, and they gave me like 10, 15 games. Well, they're like, how much were these games? They're like, oh, take them. They were like, hey, you can have it all. So to hear somebody trying to charge $250 for an old Atari 2600 when those things are maybe, even at its height right now, I can see maybe $50 for one, is nuts. That's nuts. Asteroids should never be $25 for a copy of that. Asteroids for the Atari 2600 was one of the games. that I think I got for $5. Actually, I think it might have been included in a lot of games whenever I bought that Atari 2600 for $26. It's never, it's one of the things where I've seen how much more expensive retro gaming has gotten. I'm glad that I got in 2015. But sometimes I wish I would have gotten it in the 2000s or maybe when I was still in college. But I wasn't thinking about it back then. Nobody was.
No, and it's crazy because we used to have a store a couple towns over. I can't even remember what it was called. A store in our mall. We had Game Changers. We have the DVD Game Exchange. Luckily, there is, I hope, still a Game Changers up in like Salt Lake City, but that's like a full day excursion. I'm never that far north. It's like a 50-minute drive, and then you've got to do something up there to make it worth it, because I am so like hyper focused on what I want to collect. When I go out, I am looking for specific stuff. I'm not just, oh, well, I can afford that. Let's grab it. Unless I'm in a pawn shop or something and I haven't seen anything in ages, I'm like, hey, that's pretty neat. Let's take that home. But I'm not going to make that drive just to see if they have anything that I want to get involved with. And so I guess why we are talking about this, let's talk about how different, like, the retro hunting scene has been for both of us since pandemic screwed everybody over in every way.
Absolutely. We could talk about that. With me, some of the things that have happened is places that I usually go, that I used to go to, or that I still go to here and there, the Exchange. I told you about CD Warehouse. Another place that I like to go to, the exchange is like, they're a chain. I used to like to go there when I worked in the office in downtown Pittsburgh. I used to go there on my breaks and pick up games. And then there's also one in a town outside of here called Monroeville that I'll sometimes go to and see if they have anything for my collection. And the problem with those places is my libraries are pretty big already. I have over 250 games in both my Genesis and my NES collection. And my Sega Saturn library is over 100 games. It's all starting to go dry for me because there's a lot of games that I already have. And then the games that I don't have are games that are like, well, this is rare, so you got to pay like $80 for it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. That's one thing that's changed, is that my on-land adventures, unless I'm going to that spot work then, and maybe some other places, for the most part, it's a lot more difficult for me, mostly because I have a lot of the games already. Now, the games that I don't have, I can't find them on-land, and sometimes, you know, I'm one of those folks that I like to also go on eBay, and certain websites, eBay, Mercari, certain websites that I like to go to see if maybe they have a game that I'm looking for. I got some games that I ordered on eBay that are going to be coming. Got a couple games coming tomorrow, actually, or, you know, by the time this is broadcasted, I don't know. It's coming on Monday, you know, tonight's Sunday, so it'll be here tomorrow, according to my phone, according to the U.S. Postal Service.
See, and you know how I am with my collecting. For the most part, like I said, unless I find a deal, unless I get a recommendation from you, Peter Graphic, Aaron Gobrad, Gaming Power Ups, the Kirkade, you know, one that just I have to play, that you guys have great memories with, I am looking for Mega Man 2. I'm looking for Castlevania 3, Ninja Turtles 3, DuckTales. I know it sounds stupid, but like Street Fighter 2 for the Super Nintendo. I don't even care what version. Like, I just want games that I grew up playing with my friend Dustin, my friend Brett, my friend, you know, Zach. There's still a couple Tony Hawks that I need. And I only really, really care about the games that I grew up with a big emotional connection to. You know, games that evoke strong memories of my childhood, you know, something my grandparents gave me, something that my dad took me to the arcade in the mall and they played it, and then some really crappy toned down version came out on a home console that I rented and was like, you know, this is ghetto. Okay, one game that I absolutely hate. Okay, two games that I one game I hate, one game is like meh, but I have extremely strong memories with because of my neighbor Edward, is Ghostbusters 1 and 2 on the NES. Like, I have ways to play it, but I don't own the physical cart, but I want to, because that's a piece of my childhood. There's a game called King's Knight. Absolutely fantastic shit show of a game. I never understood it back then. I played it on a Chinese knockoff, you know, NES Classic. Absolutely love it. Like, it plays in a way that my like 5 to 7 year old brain couldn't comprehend back in the day, but I enjoy it now. I want that back in my life because that little knockoff console I had broke. And so unless I get a PC and I learn to emulate, which I'm not a PC guy, y'all know I'm a Mac guy. It's a lot harder for me. I'm not technologically inclined that way.
So I can tell you that emulation really isn't hard to do at all. I could probably show you how to do it in a few minutes and you'd be hooked. I know I was when I started doing it in college.
Yeah, I was going to say Retro Gaming Rock showed me how to mod my NES Classic and my SNES Classic without ruining them. And I could do it if I had a PC like he did. I even tried running like a PC emulator program that he told me I should try. And I couldn't get it to work through my Mac. If I had a PC, though, I know that you, him, Gaming Power Ups helped me mod one of my PSPs. I couldn't think of the title there for a bit. I just wanted to say Vita, but I would be a liar because I don't have a Vita. It's really easy if you have the right equipment, and I'm not going to invest in the right equipment just to do that. I might in the future, just so I can show my kids certain games, because they're getting to an age where they have lots of stuff going on in their life and they need to decompress. My 13-year-old has been playing The Sims a lot lately, just so she doesn't have to be in control of her life. She can control somebody else's life, and that's a lot less stressful. And so, unfortunately, I've gotten way far away from the retro scene lately because I don't have easy access to it. Where a couple years, you know, pre-pandemic, everything was so bountiful and glorious. We had no idea how good we had it.
It really was. You see how my retro game mailbags don't happen as often as they used to, because it's just, I don't know if it's just not as, like, it's not as bountiful, but like I said, I also have a very large library, so it's not going to be as bountiful for me as it used to be whenever I'll be able to come in from a store somewhere with like 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, and see, even back when I was in the heyday of my collecting, I was going hard, and I was able to get, like I said, Super Castlevania 4 for the SNES. I loved that game. That game reminds me of my grandpa. I still need Adventure Island 1 through 4 because that reminds me of my grandpa. Like, those were the games that he would rent for me, and I look and I find them now, and I'm like, those are what I would pay for a brand new PS5 game. I might as well buy a PS5 game.
Yeah, because Adventure Island, I think I have the first couple. it wasn't that expensive of a game whenever I originally bought them a few years ago. It's just nuts how prices have gone up. Like, yours are certain things because people have been setting the standard of price. What was it, a couple of years ago, someone got a copy of Mario 64 and made it to where it cost $1 million for it, and that upset the pricing for all the other games.
See, and to me, that is ridiculous. That is screwing over everybody that needs to get in to the retro game scene so they can appreciate how far gaming has come. Because you don't know how good you have it until you've played things, experienced things from the past. I know that with my kids, a lot of the music that they listen to now is a reflection of what they grew up with. And so it influences, you know, your cognitive skills, your hand-eye coordination, in ways that the new games really don't. You have to work on severe timing in platforming games, where in, like right now, I have played a lot of the new Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. It is a series that has been a prevalent part of my life since the original Modern Warfare 2 came out on the PS3. I've always played Call of Duty with my kids and online with my brother, because my brother is one of my best friends in the world. And it's not like we're dorm mates. We can't just couch co-op. You know, you need that online capability. And so that's a way that we bond, is through, you know, camo grinding, getting really pissed off at shipment 24/7, you know, people just camp and spawns and stuff. But it's fun because you can make anything fun when you're playing it online with somebody that you have a connection with.
Oh, definitely. I agree. I don't do a lot of online gaming that often. Meanwhile, my little brother Zion, you know, he's 18. That's all him and his friends do. That's how they hang out when they're not, you know, he graduated from high school last year. So they're the type that when they would hang out in the summer, their version of hanging out, outside of maybe hanging out here and there, their version of the summer was waking up and they're sitting there on Xbox, you know, on their Xbox One X, playing some games. Like, that's how they hung out. Nobody was going to anybody's house anymore.
Dude, and that's how my boy Pug is. I mean, he is constantly playing games with his besties because it's easy. You don't have to go anywhere, spend any money to get somewhere. Granted, that's not all he does. He loves going and playing pool with his friends. He loves hanging out in person, being an absolute just bonkers kid, because that's what you should be as a kid. He loves hanging out in person, but you get home from school, you get you a little snack, you do your chore, you make certain that your homework's done, and then by that time, you don't want to walk to your friend's house anymore. School's not the same that it used to be. Right. I mean, in the area that we live, where I grew up, you know, my best friend lived next door. On each side of my house, I had a best friend. And so it was as easy as grabbing a cart and walking next door.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I lived in apartments. It was the same way when I was in middle school. And then even in high school, my friends lived down the street from me.
Yeah. I mean, high school, it got easier for me. Starting in junior high, I was big into skateboarding. And so we'd just skateboard everywhere. Any excuse we had to skateboard, we were on our birdhouse hookups, you know, whatever decks we had. And we would take South Park on N64, Turok, Resident Evil, you know, games like that back and forth. And we would hang out all the time. And we would typically play games all during the day because it was freaking hot as balls. It was like 102 to 110 here. And so we weren't skateboarding or doing anything strenuous during the day. Mom and Dad, if you're listening, I highly doubt you are. I used to sneak out every night in the summer. I never did anything bad. I kind of wish I did, just so I had a more seasoned life. But we would break curfew, and we would skateboard at churches because it would be 80 degrees instead of 108.
Yeah, you know, my friend, we weren't skater kids or anything. You know, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke weed, that didn't come till later on. But yeah, me and my friends, it was going to local wrestling shows. That was our main thing. But yeah, I didn't do a lot of sneaking out or anything. I was actually pretty good. I was your A average, focused on going to college type kid. And yeah, sometimes I wonder if I should have done more, but at the same time, I'm like, hey, I like the way that I was. It kind of helped. If I'd have gotten into some of that stuff a bit sooner than I ended up getting into in college, I might have failed out of college.
The only regret that I have is I was dumb. Like, I was oblivious. We'd be skating, and we'd have a car full of girls pull up, and they'd want to hang or hop in, let's go somewhere. And we were like, no, we're okay here, you know. We didn't realize that they were flirting with us. I wish, you know, I would have had the guts to go to parties, but I really didn't. Those are the only two things. I didn't want to be promiscuous or anything like that. I just wish that I would have had those experiences. So if my kids get in those situations, then I could say, well, this is what happened when I did it. And, you know, I saw this going on, and this is what to look for. So if something comes up, you can call me any hour. But I don't, because I was dumb.
Like, I'm not going to say that I was, you know, a goody-goody completely. You know, there were some things that I did that, you know, I'm sure if my mom walked into my room with a girl, I'd be in some trouble. But, like I said, for the most part, I'm pretty good. But with these kids, this generation of kids, you know, I always said, I'm a millennial dad, and, you know, I got a couple teenagers. You know, I got an 18-year-old, I got a 16-year-old. My 16-year-old daughter, Riley, we joke, I'm like, you know, I'm like the millennial dad with his Gen Z kid. And it's just that they're growing up in such a different world than we grew up in. They have smartphones in their hands by the time they started kindergarten. They don't know what it's like to live in a world that's not connected. They don't know what it's like to live in a world where you don't know what's going on, or sometimes you don't know what's going on two towns over, as compared to now where you know what's going on. You can go online and find out what's going on right now in Australia. Like, it's such a different world, and they're more, the big part is that they're so much more exposed to everything too. Like, it's all out there. It's not hard for them to go on to certain websites and see certain things. It's not hard for them to turn on the TV or a streaming service, and it's right there in their face. It's just such a different world.
You want to know what I wish our kids had the opportunity to experience?
What's that?
The horrors of dial-up.
Oh, man. I remember when I finally got internet when I was my dad had it when I was in like 10th grade in high school. I finally got it at my mom's house when I was in 11th grade for Christmas. My dad would pay the internet bill and everything so that, you know, I had internet access. And getting on there and on that 56K modem and everything being so slow compared to now and the dialing sounds. Yeah, I was like, you guys have no idea how primitive the internet was when I was in high school compared to when you were in high school, where all of your information that you need is on a smartphone at your fingertips. Your smartphone was faster than my personal computer was. It probably has more memory on it and everything.
Dude, and the whole thing about like retro gaming, the whole thing about when the internet first really hit the masses in the 90s and stuff, The thing that is the takeaway from that experience for me is patience. Because absolutely. If you wanted the information that bad, you had to wait 10 minutes for your internet to dial up, to connect, to load the page. You had to, you know, make certain that your printer had whatever $80 printer ink it had, you know. So I used to print off guitar tabs. I used to print off, you know, stuff for history reports. I didn't have the glory of, you know, strategy guides, walkthroughs, all that stuff as easy as they have it now. So, I mean, my boy, when he gets stuck on a game, he's playing Elden Ring right now. He doesn't do a typical walkthrough anymore. He goes and watches a video on YouTube. Oh, well, that's how I got to go back to this area and get this thing so I can have the stats needed to, you know, duck and roll and counterattack or whatever. I mean, he knows how to find everything that he needs, where we had to comb through everything that we could because search engines weren't optimized like they are now to pull up any information that you want. And so it made us detectives in our own right. We had to want it. We had to be patient. We had to study. We had to gather information, weed through the garbage. This is way off topic, but I've always loved guitar, and I really wanted to learn All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix when I was in junior high. My dad got a Les Paul, and I wanted to learn how to play it. That's the first song that I wanted to learn to play. So I went to my buddy James's house to find these tabs. And I kid you not, while I'm searching on his internet, he's playing Cool Borders 2 on the PlayStation. And it was fantastic to hear him doing his thing, surfing with an alien down, you know, the slopes. And I'm looking for all this stuff. I type in Jimi Hendrix guitar tabs, and the first thing that brings up on the AOL search bar is nude girl listening to Jimi Hendrix, which I don't understand how you could verify that she was listening to Jimi Hendrix. I remember her plain as day, stark naked, and she had those like 70s style headphones on that had the like phone receiver like cord on it. I mean, it was boob, so I was like, oh sweet, this is a happy accident. But it's like, why, how? And I had to go searching for it. And I mean, kids can get mixed up into weird stuff like that now because everybody's planting stuff everywhere.
Of course, I guess when it comes to restrictions and stuff, you know, because of my 16-year-old daughter, I'm one of those, I don't believe in micromanaging. I'm not going to sit there and be like, can you put the restrictions on? I remember when I was a teenager, my dad went to go put restrictions on for my little brother, Tyler. But, you know, I'm like 15, 16. This means Tyler was like 5 or 6 years old. He was like, I put the restrictions on. My dad is, our first internet experience at my dad's trip, he had web TV. Remember web TV?
I do. I haven't heard that in ages.
Yeah, that. So, you know, he gets web TV and he wants to go put restrictions. Like, hey, want to make sure things are safe for Tyler so that he's not going on to any of the stuff that me and my brother VJ were going on and looking at. He put the restrictions on. He hated it. He had to take it off. He was like, they restricted Nintendo. He was like, we couldn't even go on the Nintendo site. Because I used to go on, you know, yeah, because I used to go on to those sites maybe if I was looking for tips or codes for maybe a Sega Dreamcast game I was playing or a PlayStation 2 game. And he was like, wow, he was like, I had to take the restrictions off because they wouldn't even let him go on Nintendo.
Yeah, and it's crazy because my friend James's internet wasn't restricted at all, because when it was restricted, he couldn't pull up information for his history reports for school.
Yeah. They weren't perfect. Not by any means.
I know that we've gotten off topic just a little bit, but what have you been playing lately?
Well, what have I been playing lately? I've been, you know, I've been on my Ant Stream Arcade. For anybody that doesn't have it, Ant Stream Arcade is awesome. It's like video game Netflix, and it's just a bunch of retro games. It's cloud gaming. It has a whole bunch of classic arcade games. I've been on there. Bad Dudes, Growl, Art of Fighting. It even has like some of the older stuff, like some Pac-Man, Rally X, Robotron 2084. But also, I've been on my PS4. I've been playing playing around with like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Shredder's Revenge. I've been playing a good amount of that. I've been seeing if there's any free games out there, which that well's kind of going dry. But for me, it's been more about playing classic titles than any of the more current stuff.
See, and I am totally on the current level, but in a classic style, because I have been playing the crap out of Shredder's Revenge since it came out. I can't tell you how many times my kids and I have beat that together. We got snowed in Martin Luther King Jr. Day weekend. My folks took us to a cabin that was our Christmas present. They're going to start, you know, giving us mini staycation things to do locally, but still get away. And we took our Switches just in case. And it's a good thing we did, because me and my two youngest, we played probably a good 6-7 hours of it one day because the snow would not stop coming down.
Oh man, we need to get down. You know, I know we were supposed to at one point, but things got in the way. But yeah, because I've been playing Shredder's Revenge. It's just, you know, the problem with, you know, the whole thing about beating him up. As much as I love him, it's one of my favorite genres. I spend a lot of time playing alone.
See, and we really do. We always talk about the end of the year, Christmas break. You and I both have about the same schedule where we get the last week of the year off. And we always talk about getting you that last trophy you need for the beat-em-up collection.
On the Capcom beat-em-up bundle. Yes, we got to.
Yeah, we still need to do that. The thing about growing up and having kids and having all these responsibilities is you've got the best intentions, and then things get in the way, and then you completely forget about it. Because I forgot about it until now. I'm like, you mentioned beat-em-ups and stuff, and I'm like, oh, PS4, we still need to do that. I even downloaded it so we could, and I forgot.
Yeah, even on this, and there's been so much going on. You know, as a father, you know, I got three kids, and two of them are special needs. Sometimes, you know, I just don't have the time to do the things that I want to do. Even when I have days off from work, you know, autism doesn't take a day off.
Oh, 100%.
Right, you know, yeah, these kids, you know, they don't take a day off. It's one of the things I'm like, I can't log off. It's not like at my job where I can log out of my laptop and be like, all right, done. It's like, nah, they're always here.
And it's, see, are all of your kids into gaming?
My oldest, she's not. Her spectrum of autism is a pretty major one. She's kind of severe. My five-year-old's nonverbal, so I don't know if I can get him into it. My teenage daughter, Riley, the one who isn't on the spectrum, she has a Switch. I got her a Switch for Christmas a couple years ago. And she has her games that she likes to play with her friends. But she likes to do stuff like Roblox and Royal High and some of those, and a lot of those games. And so she's into it here and there, but I just cannot. And I even put the NES collection on her Switch so that she can play some of those games that I used to play. And it's like, she likes some of them, but she doesn't get into it deeply. She's not a hardcore gamer like me and like her grandfather is. You know, my dad's 61 years old, and he just got his PS5.
Attaboy.
But he also bought himself, what is the new one, the Xbox One X? He bought
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it's Xbox One X. He bought that because for him, he loves Dead Space. And that's the only way he can play, because Dead Space is only on Xbox. So he got, yeah, because he's like, he's not a big Xbox person, but there's a couple titles. I know Dead Space is the one, and there's some other games that are only on Xbox that he's into.
See, and honestly, the only reason why I got my PS5 when I did, and I am grateful that I did, just because of how hard it was to get, Resident Evil Village. Like, love Resident Evil. I'm not good enough to beat all of the games. I don't have the attention span to sit down and play it out nowadays because so much is going on. But I absolutely wanted to continue my Resident Evil experience, and so therefore I bought a PS5.
Yeah, I've been waiting until, you know, it was available for retail price, which my dad's whole thing is, he's like, I've never paid beyond retail price for any game that I've, any system that I've had. Going back to his Atari 2600. Shout out to my dad, 1982 Laser Blast champion, Vern Cox. Yeah, my dad's been gaming all the way since then. He got his Atari 2600 back in 1981, and he said he'll never go beyond retail price. So he got it when it was retail price. As for me, I'm waiting until the income tax money comes and everything, and I'm going to go ahead and get it then.
Oh, I'll heck yeah.
But I've also seen that they're readily available. Like, the GameStop where I'm at has a sign on the door. Yes, we have PlayStation 5.
I've even seen them at my Walmart. So that's always a good sign that finally supply is catching up with demand. One thing I hate above anything else is scalpers. Doesn't matter if it's concert tickets, doesn't matter if it's consoles, Christmas toys, whatever. I hate scalpers with a passion, and I will not pay them for their time or energy, whatever they're attaching to the cost of the console that they're selling. When I got mine, they were readily available on my online classifieds for $1,200. And they were flying off the classifieds.
I remember when that was going down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a dad. My family comes first. I got a bonus, and that's the only reason why I had extra spending money. And this is what I wanted to do with it. And it's brought me great joy. I passed my PS4 on to my children. And so we play Call of Duty Black Ops 3 Zombies together. We play Jackbox all the time. PlayStation has a game called That's You. So me having my own console and then taking one upstairs to have for the family to use really gives us more opportunities to hang out as a family, because there are certain things that you can talk about while gaming that you can't have in an everyday serious conversation without having it bring up too much emotion or whatever. I know we were playing a zombies map, me and my daughter, and she was, you know, every zombie that she was shooting was one of her emotions. So she was getting out her frustrations because she is an absolutely wonderful child. I can't say enough good things about all of my children, but she does get picked on and bullied at school. And it's not like she was shooting the zombie saying, oh, take that, Frank, take that, Charles. You know, it wasn't that. It was, you know, this is the way that you made me feel, and I'm getting rid of that. I'm shooting that out through the game, so I don't have to carry that weight with me. And that's the thing to me that makes gaming so valuable, is the relief that you can get from playing and not have to carry any unnecessary burden throughout the rest of your night, the day, you know, whatever.
I had, you know, I hated school growing up. I wasn't a big fan of it. I was good at it, but I just didn't like it. I didn't like the people, and sometimes, you know, when you're a fat, nerdy kid who watches wrestling, you know, people I don't think you're cool, especially back then. Being fat was the worst thing you can do. But whenever I got home and I popped in Streets of Rage 2 on my Sega Genesis, you know, sitting there playing that, or playing Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, or Mortal Kombat, or even, you know, going all the way up into when I was in high school, playing F-Zero X in 10th grade. When I was 16, I was depressed, like suffering real bad depression. I remember firing up my Nintendo 64 and playing F-Zero X, sometimes for hours on end, or turning that off and turning on my Sony PlayStation to play some Tekken 3. It was a true relief. It was great to sit there and play games and not think about the things that are bothering you. And just concentrating on the task of beating True Ogre in Tekken 3. Like that type of stuff. That's all I thought about.
Oh, and that reminds me, like, when I was in high school, I was going through some health problems. I had to go do a sleep study. It wasn't for sleep apnea or anything like that. They had to monitor my brain waves for something. I honestly can't remember what. And I'm typically pretty good at remembering stuff. But I was so stressed out. I had so much anxiety about it because I didn't know what was wrong with me. My parents didn't know what was wrong with me. It was costing us a fortune to figure it out. So that was putting more stress on me. The night before my sleep study, I couldn't sleep at all, like doctor's orders. So we had the N64 that we'd got the Christmas before, and my mom rented me South Park. And she said, you can play this all night long. And my buddy came over for a little bit. It was supposed to be a school night, so he could only stay for so long. But he had a strategy guide, and the ultimate cheat for that game was Bobby Bird. I don't know why Bobby Bird, but that was it. I played that game all night. I had so much fun. I was exhausted when I got to the sleep study the next day. I was supposed to be there for 8 hours, napping the whole time, if I could. And I did, because I didn't have to worry about everything. Because I was sucked into this game, killing all these turkeys and all doing.
Gave you all weapons.
Yeah. It was utter mayhem, and it was fantastic. And
some of those codes. There was Bobby Bird, there was the Earth Move, and there was one OMGTKKYB. You know, oh my God, they killed 10 of you bastards. And Bobby Bird, that was what I think. Didn't it give you unlimited energy too?
I believe it gave you pretty much unlimited everything. Ammo, it unlocked all the guns.
The Terrence and Phillips dolls, because those were the most effective things out there. Those fart grenades.
Yeah.
And then they had the fart grenade ones, and they had the ones where you would throw them down, and they were kind of like landmines, where anything that came near them, it would spray off the fart, and it would kill off all the turkeys. Oh, man. When you brought up the South Park game, yeah, I got that. When I got my Nintendo 64, Christmas of 1998, the first games I got that my dad got me with it was NFL Blitz, because I really wanted that after playing in an arcade. And it was F-Zero X and South Park. South Park, and I was a big fan of South Park. South Park was only in like its first or second season, and we had finally gotten Comedy Central out here. I remember just being all about from South Park. And when I played that game, I'm not good at first-person shooters, but I had fun playing that. I remember I would sit there and play the crap out of that game. I beat it a few times and everything, and I loved using all the weapons, and all the levels were fun. It was just that was a fun experience. I love that you brought up that game. I don't understand how we never talked about that game before.
I don't either. And it's one of those games that I don't have it in my collection. So that's one that I absolutely have to have. Because we get rolling into conversations like this, and everything just snowballs. And then it unlocks a memory. It unlocks you know, something in your brain that's like, you forgot about this until your story got so sidetracked that you went into this. And that's why I love doing this. All of my guests I have conversations with, one thing turns into another, and it's instant memories being unlocked. And this is why retro collecting is so good and much needed. And it really, really needs to get back to where it was, just because it's a part of my life that, you know, a game helped me through. And so I want to celebrate that by having a physical copy.
Yeah, for me, like, yeah, you know, when you're talking about physical copies, I'm looking right now at my copy of Shaq Fu for Sega Genesis, which I had originally gotten it for Christmas back in 1994 when I was 12 years old. And while the game isn't known for being the greatest fighting game there is, I had fun playing it. And like I said, it could be absolutely terrible at times, but I have such great memories of it. So it's one of those games where I'm like, this always will have to be in my collection, no matter how bad that game really is. I've played worse fighting games anyway, but just having it there because of all the great memories that it brought back. And for me, retro gaming, it isn't just about the games that I had. It's about games that are in my collection that I didn't get to play them back when they were new. Games that I've never heard of that I got to play later on, like for an NES, like Shatterhand, or Load G-Man, or Kabuki Quantum Fighter. These are all games that I remembered them back then, but never had a chance to play them. And that's what it's about for me, is going back and playing some of those games. And I remember I was talking to my daughter Riley, and I said to her, think about being a gamer back when I was a kid. There was no saving in a lot of cases. Sometimes there was, where, you know, you had to put in, you know, a password or whatever. Load G-Man was an example of that. It's one of the first games where you can do it. I said, Riley, when I was a kid, there's so many games that you played that no matter how far you made it, once you lost all of your lives, you had to start over. You had to start from the beginning. There were no continues. There might have been a couple of continues, but in so many cases, you had to start completely over.
Yeah, and a lot of the games that we had, you had to farm lives.
Yep.
And then as soon as you were out of those lives, yeah, you'd be lucky if you got one or two continues. You'd get super lucky if in Game Pro or Nintendo Power or something like that, they'd give you, you know, like the Contra code or something like that, that would boost your ability to get further. But
the Game Genie or something, yeah, like that.
Yeah, the Game Genie was hard for me to come by. I only had one friend that had Game Genies. Luckily enough, he had them all, but.
Yeah, I had one friend who had a Game Genie. I have one in my collection somewhere for the Sega Genesis. Because for all of those who don't know, if you have a Game Genie for your Sega Genesis, guess what, guys? It makes your Genesis region break. Great way to region break your Genesis console and play some of those Sega Mega Drive, as it's called everywhere else in the world. Great way to play some of them Japanese Sega Genesis games or Sega Mega Drive games. Because the Game Genie makes it region break.
See, and I think I knew that at one point, but honestly, with the way that life has been, it's been too crazy, too hectic. Like, I can't remember all the stuff that I used to research. I used to do so much reading for this, and then it really turned into gaming memories instead of facts and information. And I still love looking at video game stuff. I'm still constantly doing stuff, but now all my search stuff is like PlayStation 1 and above, because if I do get lucky finding something at a thrift store, more than likely it's going to be a PS2 or it's going to be an Xbox game. And right, it's really sad days when you can only find discs instead of cards. But for me, I take what I can get. My kid still plays Xbox. Some of the games are, you know, compatible with his Xbox One. So he can pop in the disc. It'll download it from the store or whatever for free because it verifies that he owns it or something like that. I'm not an Xbox guy. I wish I was, but me and my boy were talking about it the other day because I play Switch in dock mode. I don't like the handheld mode. It's not comfortable for me. I've got short, fat fingers. And
I want to chill on that because, I don't know, I think I'm starting to show early signs of arthritis from all these years in gaming.
Yeah, I mean, I can see on the screen close up. I still play, you know, old school Game Boy. I love playing Pokemon on my Game Boy. But
I just played Mario Land yesterday.
Yeah, for some reason the Switch is just too wide for me, so it's not comfortable, and it's not how I'm used to playing. So I play it on a screen, and we were talking about the difference in controllers, and he likes how the PS4 controller is slimmer, but it doesn't have the same feel as his Xbox with the layout. And I said, you know, I've always hated Xbox forever because I'm used to the analog sticks being, you know, at the bottom where my thumbs are. And, you know, I could actually play Xbox now because I've been getting used to the Switch Pro controller a lot. So if there was a time where I would make the leap to start playing Xbox games, it'd probably be right now, thanks to the Switch.
Yeah, where did I cut off? My last Xbox, my Xbox 360, that's where it ended for me when it came to Xbox. I do have a modded Xbox, you know, because I wanted to get, because it had all the classic games on there. Just another option for me. I'm just waiting to have it somewhere I can set it up and it can have its own spot. But yeah, like the 360 is where I ended. Because I always ended up leaning more towards PlayStation. You know, or me and my little brother and his girlfriend at the time, you know, we got into a debate where I said, look, I'm sorry, Xbox just comes off as something that's for dorks. It does. I'm like, you guys are complete nerds. To which she responded, oh yeah, well, PS4 is for old people.
And PS4 that, is for old nerds.
Yeah, so I was like, well, yeah, you know, for somebody who just turned 40 back in November, I'm like, yeah, I guess. At the time this conversation happened, I was like 37. I'm like, wow, thanks for just calling me old. I've been here a while now, I will say that. You know, an example of how we've been here for a while was when I saw a couple days ago, that was yesterday, and I posted about it, it was the 25-year anniversary of Dawson's Creek premiering on the WB. Yes.
Holy cow.
I watched that whole series. I was completely into it. And I think it skewed my way of how I thought relationships were supposed to be.
Oh, Dawson's Creek. That reminds me of one of my first serious girlfriends. Like, we couldn't hang out any night that was on because she would watch it with her sister. And so... like if we had plans, if I had a hockey game, she wouldn't go to it because she was watching Dawson's Creek. So
when I got to college, because it was six seasons, the final two seasons happened my freshman year and my sophomore year. I didn't schedule evening classes on Wednesdays so that I can watch Dawson's Creek. Yeah, that's how deep it was for me.
Wow. Well, I think this was a great reintroduction to who we are and, you know, the kind of things that we talk about on this podcast with our guests. We are big into memories. We are big into how we grew up. We're still big into games. I will play anything and everything. I still love my retro, but it is so hard. Because the things that I want, I can't get. Now, I mean, I can, but I'm not going to pay a fortune for them. I'm realistic.
There is something to all that is listening, even to you, Zerani. If there's something out there, if there's one thing out there that's new, that's for the current consoles, that's retro, it's that Atari 50th anniversary because it has, you know, a lot of their old games, and it has interviews from some of the people that worked on those games and worked on Atari, or even Nolan Bushnell himself. There's some good stuff there, and I would tell people to check that out. If you're a person like me, who loves looking at the history of games and looking at the history of video games, that's something for you. The Atari 50th Anniversary Collection, whether you're on Xbox One X, PS4, PS5, Switch, I would tell you, go out and grab that.
Oh, for sure. Speaking of going out and checking out information, how can everybody find you?
If you're looking for me, you can find me, whether it's on Instagram or Twitter, or even on the PlayStation Network, I'm under the name Ultra Golden Ant. That's where you can find me. Instagram is where I'm most active. Whenever I get new games in the mail, I do have my retro game mailbag. That's me, Ultra Golden Ant. Super fun gaming since 1982. Games on games on games. And when I do my retro game mailbag, I like to show off whatever game came in the mail. I also do, whenever I go to, whether it's Warp Zone, CD Warehouse, The Exchange, anytime I have any online pickup, I always make a video. I like to show people what I have, because there's always somebody that's like, oh man, I had that game, or that's my favorite game. And it's always fun to talk about some of those great games that are out there, and to hear other people's memories of those particular games. So you can check me out there. I'm also do the Throwback Thursday Retro Game in a Week. I'm a big nostalgia nerd, so you'll see that I like to post about video games, TV shows, movies, especially from the 80s, and even bigger, at it when it comes to the 90s, because I feel like the 90s is the greatest decade of all time. Maybe that's when I grew up.
I'm right there with you. The late 80s, I'm a big fan of Transformers, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Ninja Turtles, the 90s with Batman the Animated Series, X-Men, Spider-Man. Like, the toys, the music, the movies, everything was just... It was crazy, because as violent as it was, it promoted nonviolence. But, I mean...
Conscious. Yeah. Captain.
Yeah, I mean, it was phenomenal, and we will never have anything like that again. So I am glad that I lived through it.
Absolutely. Pizza Hut was an event.
I think now is a good point to stop and let the listeners know that this is going to continue. It's been almost a year. I'm not going to drop one episode a year and hope that people still listen. We are going to try to get into this, and I'm going to put it out there so I can be held accountable for it. We're going to try to release at least 2 episodes every month. Like I said, try. If life comes up, I do apologize. I'll try to postpone. Maybe do an episode on my own if needed, just to try to keep this going, because this is something that I've always been passionate about. This is a passion project. So for all of those that have listened in the past, who still listen, have found me somehow, and for those that will listen to the podcast in the future, I thank you for your support and for your time. We do have some shows that we're planning. Ant, do you want to let them know what we have been planning for like 4 years that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, yeah, this is a big thing. You may remember him and I, we had our series where we talked about the fall of Atari and the video game crash of 1983, which was a two-parter. But the big thing that him and I wanted to talk about, we want to talk about all of the great video game publishers that were out there. Like, different companies that made games. Konami, Data East. We want to start off with Tengen, because they're the ones who broke everything for Nintendo. There's so many, yeah, that's our big thing, is that we want to talk about some of these different publishers and developers that were out there. That's going to be some good stuff, and hopefully, you know, if you love Grab Life by the Controller, maybe a spinoff coming down the pipeline too.
More info. I got my fingers crossed, because it is a lot of pressure on me to try to coordinate everything and get stuff. I know Peter Graphic, you and myself are still supposed to talk about Captain Novel and our experiences with it. And so there's still so much we have planned. It's just everybody's on different schedules. Everybody's scattered throughout the world and stuff. It'd be so much easier if y'all would move here and be my neighbors, and then we could coordinate better. But
you got to come to Pittsburgh. You know, it's pretty nice this time. You're actually, it's real cold. But
but I seriously appreciate all your time. I thank you for our daily conversations. Y'all don't know this, but seriously, Ant and I talk like every day.
Every day.
Like, every just day. Because we're not doing the podcast doesn't mean that we're not keeping in touch. Seriously, me, Ant, Gaming Power Ups, Peter Graphic, Aaron Gobrag, The Plug Ugly, Retro Gaming Rock, when he's got a chance to pop in and stuff, Kirkade, anybody that I'm missing that, you know, is in our chat, I apologize. I'm just doing this right off the top of my head. We try to stay in contact, like, every day. We might not have time to, like, have full-blown conversations, but we're popping in, liking each other's stuff. Everybody that I've really had on the show, the Tomorrow Night, he's now Ex Mortis, Matt the Boss Man, God, Kizarks, there's been so many people. Like, I love you all. You guys have been an amazing part of my life, and I've missed it, and I want to get back into it.
I've missed this. I've missed us having this podcast and just talking about video games. It's been, you know, we still talk about them, you know, when it's just us talking, or hey, check out this game I have, or hey, did you see this game's coming out, or what are your memories of that game? But I've missed that, you know, like, it's something with technology, you know, how we're all able to connect and share our common interests. You know, people, like, you know, if it wasn't for the internet and all that stuff, hey, you and I would have never had a chance to talk and realize that we grew up differently, but there's a lot about us that's the same.
Exactly. And if more people could have open conversations and find out that, yeah, we grew up in different parts of the world, the United States, you know, wherever, but we had similar interests, we had similar upbringings, it brings more people together, and it just opens the door for future communications, and it gives people an insight to the type of people that we actually are. And hopefully everybody that listens gains something from it, relates to us a little bit, and hopefully we reminded you of something from your childhood. If you want to share stories with us, you can find me, Grab Life by the Controller, all one word, on Instagram. That's the only place I'm active. But yeah, come in, talk some games.
We'll all talk. Where do you find me? Where do you find Aaron Gerbrand, Peter Graphic? If the conversation's happening, there's always, when you talk to one of us, there's always a possibility that you'll be talking to three or four.
Oh, 100%. And seriously, I can't recommend these people enough. Definitely go check out Ultra Golden Ant anywhere you can find him. If you don't like him, you didn't grow up in the same era that we did, and you just, I'm sorry. Like, he's one of my favorite dudes of all time. So, for real, show him some love, and let's keep this conversation going. But until next time, we out.
We are. Have a good one.